Hello, Honey Ridge family and friends. Let's ask God for his help in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another morning, and we come before you knowing that we are completely dependent on you. We ask for our daily bread today. We are grateful that you provide for us, not just physically, but spiritually, and we ask for you to strengthen us this day. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we'll be looking at Proverbs 3 verse 5 and the topic of trust. But let's start by reading verses 1 to 6 in Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablets of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. The verse we'll focus on is verse 5, which reads, Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. So let's first look at some key words in this verse and their meaning before trying to understand the overall sense and how we could apply it to our lives. Do you have a definition of what trust is in your mind? I think this is one of those words that we all intuitively understand, but when it comes to defining its meaning using other words, I think many of us struggle. The dictionary defines trust as a firm belief in the reliability, truth, or ability of someone or something. And in our case, the object of this firm belief ought to be God. But let's look at the word that is used here for God. You may have noticed that in your version of the Bible, the word Lord is spelt with capital letters. Unfortunately, our eyes mostly overlook this detail. But I think it's worthwhile considering its significance here. The English word Lord, when it's spelt with capitals, is used in some English Bible translations to point to God's personal name. It's the name that Jews fear pronouncing, and traditionally they don't spell it out either, because it's God's most holy name. You may recall Jesus' encounter with the Pharisees, where he said to them, Before Abraham was, I am. And the I am that Jesus used in that encounter is the same most holy personal name of God that we have here in Proverbs 3 verse 5. And taking this into account, we can see that in a sense, Jesus puts himself into this verse here in Proverbs. And this makes verse 5 more personal than it may appear at first. The next word worth considering is heart, and unfortunately we don't have enough time to look at different verses that illustrate how all-encompassing this word is, but in the Bible the word heart is used to describe our entire inner person. Where our physical body represents our material self, the heart represents the immaterial self. It includes our thoughts, intentions, feelings, motives, the mind, the soul, the spirit, emotions, imagination, and any other immaterial part of our person that you can think of. So when it says that we should trust God with all of our heart, it means that we should trust him with all of those parts of our inner person. The second last word we'll be looking at is the word to lean. And when we lean on something, we rest against it. And by implication, we shift our rest, or that resting position, from normally an upright standing position to a slanted position where part of our weight is supported by something else than our own legs. And if the object that we lean on or against is unstable, then I'm sure from your own experience you've seen that you become unstable. The last word, understanding, refers to our ability to comprehend something or correctly interpret the intended meaning of something. we make our decisions and live our lives according to our understanding of situations, people, things, and events. And it's worth mentioning that we don't always have to rely on our own understanding. As in this corona crisis, we are glad that we can lean on other people's understanding of the situation. But here in this verse, we are encouraged to lean on God's understanding, not our own. And we will see why. And now that we've looked at the key words of this verse, let's put them together. This may end up being quite a long paraphrase, but I trust that it will help bring out some of the meaning that's in the verse. So in different words, verse 5 reads, "Firmly believe in the ability, truth, and reliability of God, the great I am, with all your thoughts, emotions, beliefs, and desires, and do not shift your weight and reliance onto your own comprehension of situations, people, things, or events." But what does this mean for me? What does it mean for you today? You may know a game that you've probably played at school or as part of a team building exercise at work, where two people start off by facing each other, and then one of them turns around and is told to fall backwards towards the second person, trusting that this person catches them before they hit the ground. If you ask two kids whether they trust each other, they will mostly say yes. But have them play this game and they suddenly change their mind, and they'll often refuse to trust the other person. And the question is that our relationship with God? Is our trust the kind that will fail when God asks us to do something and figuratively wants us to fall backwards into his arms? One area that I've often struggled to trust God with is the area of giving. I've found myself questioning whether I actually believe that it is better to give than to receive. And God challenged me through Paul in 2 Corinthians 8 to consider whether I'm willing to trust him when he tells me that I can supply others' needs as he chooses to bless me with abundance. Do I really trust God when he says that it will be better for me to give? In what area has God recently challenged you? Where's your conscience prompting you? Is it maybe in the area of thinking about tomorrow and still becoming anxious? Do you trust that God will actually take care of you even when you disallow yourself to dwell on worrying thoughts? Or perhaps you are prone to invest first in this life before you put time aside to seek the kingdom. Or maybe you also struggle in the area of being a good steward of what God has blessed you with. Whatever your struggle may be, I want to encourage you this morning with the truth that we are more stable and safe when we lean on God's understanding, which he reveals in the scriptures, rather than relying on our own understanding, which is limited and often falsely informed by the world's wisdom. God knows what will happen today. We don't. God knows what he's going to do tomorrow. We don't. And you may be wondering, well, how can I trust God more? And there are certainly different ways to build trust in relationships, for instance, by getting to know the other person better. But the one I would like to encourage us with this morning is to build trust through experience. Most of us have experienced that when we entrust ourselves to others and they consistently prove to be trustworthy, our trust in them grows. So one way of growing in trusting God is to take small steps in faith, surrendering ourselves to him one step at a time. And in short, this means we must do what he says without insisting on knowing how he will fulfill his promises to us. In his book, The Existence and Attributes of God, Stephen Charnock writes, "That servant that acts according to his own will with the neglect of his master's refuses the duty of a servant and invades the right of his master. This self-love and desire of independency on God has been the root of all sin in the world. The great controversy between God and man has been whether he or they shall be God, whether his reason or theirs His will or theirs shall be the guiding principle. As grace is the union of the will of God and the will of the creature, so sin is the opposition of the will of self to the will of God. Leaning to our own understanding is opposed as a natural evil to trusting in the Lord, which is a supernatural grace. We see that the ability to trust God doesn't come from ourselves. It is given us by grace. Our wills are naturally opposed to God's, but through His Spirit who lives in us as believers, we are able to do what He says. We must ask God to continually change our hearts and to work in us that which pleases Him. How often do we acknowledge our helplessness to God in prayer and ask Him to give us a heart that will gladly do what He asks us to do? Let's pray. Father, we are a needy people. We know what we ought to do, but don't feel like we can. Please override our own understanding and through your Spirit enable us to fall back into your arms in faith. Give us the confidence we need to do what you require of us this day, and help us to experience your trustworthiness. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.